Many of you will probably recall this scene. Tom Cruise, Jack Nicholson are in a military courtroom. Tom Cruise is pressing Jack Nicholson about an event, some occurrence, pressing him hard, and Jack Nicholson finally responds because Tom Cruise is wanting the truth. Jack Nicholson responds, "You can't handle the truth." That's what today's lesson is about. Many people can't handle the truth. If you look at the Bible says a lot about truth. Truth in general, not just Bible truth, but truth in general has a lot of characteristics. But in particular, Bible truth. It saves. It sets men free. It purifies. And we think about all those positive characteristics about God's Word, the truth, biblical truth, Scripture. It does all of those things. But there's some, what people would call negative characteristics of truth. Because truth causes division. Truth causes conflict, doesn't it? Just think about that principle. Truth causes conflict, causes division. It always has. Because there's always a conflict between those people who accept the truth and those people who don't. In other words, if two people were presented with some truth and one person accepted it and the other one didn't, are those two people ever going to be at peace? Never. They'll never be at peace. There'll always be some division. There'll always be some conflict. And it may be just over that one truth. Jesus knew that very well. Jesus knew that truth would cause division, that truth would cause conflict. It's not the fault of the truth, but the failure of men to believe it and accept it. Jesus taught this one time in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. We want to be more like Jesus, just like Brother Cope led that song. We want to be more like Jesus. But if we want to really be more like Jesus, then we need to pay very close attention to what he said in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Notice the words beginning in verse 34. And I know these words are true because Jesus himself said them. And I want to be more like Jesus, so I have to pay attention to what he said at every time and every occasion. Notice what he says in verse 34. "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household." I thought Jesus brought peace. Isn't that what the angels pronounced in Luke chapter 2? That unto you this child is born, and what's he going to do? He's going to bring peace on earth. And now Jesus comes along and says, "I didn't come to bring peace on earth." Well, was he wrong? Were the angels wrong? Or were they talking about two different types of peace? That's what it is. They're talking about two different types of peace. There's a peace that the Bible says God loves. God loves this type of peace. He wants this type of peace, and that's why Jesus came into the world, he says, to bring this type of peace. But on the other hand, there's a type of peace that God hates. You know, God hates lots of things. And there's a type of peace that God doesn't like. The world, by and large, cannot fathom the idea that God wouldn't like all kinds of peace, but he doesn't. He doesn't like all kinds of peace. And we know this because Jesus says, "I didn't come to bring that kind of peace to the earth." He says, "I didn't bring that kind of peace. What I brought," he said, "was division, conflict." And he gives some specific examples. Within a household, within a family. You know, a daughter might be against her father, or a son maybe against the mother, or a daughter-in-law against a mother-in-law. He says, within a family, there's a type of peace I don't want. Jesus says, I don't want this type of peace in a family. So how can I know the difference between the kind of peace the angels proclaimed He came to bring to the earth and the kind of peace that Jesus says He didn't want and He didn't bring? How can I know the difference between those two? Because I want one, and I certainly don't want the other. So if I want to come to know the truth that sets me free, that saves, that purifies, I have to know the difference between those two types of peace. Well, there's no doubt that the Bible says God wants peace. He wants peace between Himself and mankind. He wants peace between believers. You know, toward the end of the Bible, John mentions in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, about that if we walk, we continue to walk in the light, we have fellowship, we have peace with one another. And the blood of His Son continues to cleanse us. There's the type of peace God wants. When what? Believers walk in the light. When they walk in the light of God's Word, there's going to be peace. If you and I are going to have peace, what do we have to do? We have to walk in the light. And we'll have peace. It's guaranteed. It's a promise. But now, if either one of us stops that, or both of us, we can't have biblical peace. But as long as you and I believe and accept and follow the truth, we'll have peace. We'll have peace with each other. We'll have peace with God. But if that stops, what will happen? Division. Jesus knew that would happen. Jesus knew even within a family, if one of those stopped walking in the light, stopped accepting what He taught, stopped practicing what He taught, stopped obeying, then He knew that family couldn't have the kind of peace God wants. And so there would be division. Might be between parents and children or in-laws or whatever. But He said, there's not going to be peace. There's going to be division. And Jesus said, I'm bringing it, meaning that because of who He is and His teachings, it would lead to division, inevitable. Because He said most people are not going to accept what He says. Now that's Jesus talking. That's not me talking. I'm just repeating what He said. He said it's not might happen, it would happen. That families would have conflict because of that. Much of the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians is about peace that God brought to the world through Christ. Remember that great passage in Ephesians chapter 2 where He says He broke down that middle wall of partition, meaning between the Jews and the Gentile, and he made peace between those. So Jesus brought peace. When He died on the cross, He brought peace. Jesus taught peace, and He wanted peace. But He also knew that division would come. But as long as I walk in the light, as long as I continue to be justified by following God's Word, I will have peace, and you will have peace, and we will have peace. But the moment you or I or both of us stop that, Jesus said there would be division. There would be a sharp divide between those people. You know, Jesus, when He taught people, whether it was one-on-one or in multitudes, He never painted a rosy picture that wasn't going to be true. He never told them things. He never brought false hope to people. He never did that. You look at His whole life, He never did that. He always told people the truth. And then it was up to people to accept it or not. He never forced people to accept the truth. He never forced people to believe that He was the Messiah. They all had freedom to choose. And what happened? What happens when some people believed that He was the Christ and others didn't? Division. Conflict over and over and over again. It followed Christ wherever He went. All the time. Let's notice a few of those. Let's begin in John chapter 7 and notice a few of those places where Jesus brought conflict. We want to see this. John chapter 7, let's begin in verse 11. John chapter 7 and in verse 11. This is about going to the feast with his brothers. It says in verse 11, "Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, 'Where is he?' And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said, 'He's good.' Others said, 'No, on the contrary, he deceives the people.'" They were in conflict. Some believed. Some said, "Yeah, he's good." Some said, "No, he's not. He's a big deceiver." There was conflict in the people. Same chapter, verse 40. "Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, 'Truly, this is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'Will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the Scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was?' So there was a division among the people because of him." More division because of Christ. Chapter 9. Skip a chapter. Chapter 9, verse 16. "Therefore some of the Pharisees said, 'This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath.' Others said, 'How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?' And there was a division among them." There was a conflict among the people. Some people believed the truth, accepted him. Others didn't. What was the inevitable result when two people believe opposite things? Division. Conflict. Jesus didn't come into the world solely to make people have conflict. That's not. But he knew it was inevitable. And he knew it was inevitable that families would have conflict and division because they both wouldn't believe the same thing. And he said, if you believe opposite things, if one of you accepts me as the Messiah and the other doesn't, he says, you can't live in peace. Jesus said it's impossible. You cannot do it. And there will be division because of it. He said, well, there will be division because of me. Next chapter, chapter 10, verse 19. Same thing. He had just told the people that he was the good shepherd and about him knowing his sheep and the sheep knowing him and all of this. Verse 19 says, "Therefore there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings." Just over and over and over again throughout Jesus' life, there was division. Division followed him wherever he went. Whenever he went into a community, when he talked to people, whether it was in big multitudes or few people, he left division in his wake. Everywhere he went, there was division. There was conflict. Everywhere. Why? People couldn't not respond to him. In other words, when Jesus met you, when you heard his teaching, you couldn't just sit there and not respond. You had to make a response. You either had to accept what he said and follow it, or you rejected it. There wasn't any middle ground with Jesus. Because there wasn't any middle ground, division and conflict followed him wherever he went, just day after day. Many of us might have gave up. Because teaching and preaching the truth brings conflict. And when that happens over and over again, you might get to the point where I'm tired of this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to preach the truth anymore. The truth causes too much division and conflict. I want to have peace. Jesus says, I didn't come into the world to bring you that kind of peace. Don't expect it. You'll never have it. Again, those are Jesus' words, not mine. That's what Jesus said. Says, I didn't come to bring peace, came to bring division. So look at those outcomes. Within a family, what can happen? So hard decisions have to be made. What if the father accepts Jesus and the daughter doesn't? Hard decisions have to be made. Hard decisions have to be made. And Jesus said, those who come to accept me and receive what I say and follow me and obey me, he says, count on the fact that some will hate you because of that. He says that's inevitable too. People will hate you. Do you know of anybody that hates you because of your beliefs? It's soul-searching time, isn't it? If everybody likes you and everybody, you know, you've never caused any sort of division or conflict, don't take that as a good thing. Jesus said that's bad. Jesus says, I didn't come into the world to bring that kind of peace. Jesus said, if you're teaching and preaching and practicing the truth, there's going to be some division. It's not that he wants it, but he says it's inevitable because that's the way people are. That's the way people are. Back in our main text, Matthew chapter 10, before Jesus gets down to saying that, listen to these words. Matthew chapter 10, notice verses 21 and 22. He said, this would start to happen right then. If you chose to obey me, Jesus says, now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Wow. Well, Jesus wasn't painting a rosy picture there at all. Why did he do that? Why did Jesus not tell the people, well, if you come and believe me and accept me and follow me, everything is going to be great. It's going to be rosy. You'll never have any problems again. Everybody will like you. Everybody will be your friend. Why didn't Jesus tell them that? Because that would have been a lie. Wouldn't that have been a lie? Absolutely. So Jesus didn't tell them a lie. He told them the truth. He wanted them to know going in how their life was going to change. He says, your daughter may not like you anymore if you come to believe me. Whew. Wow. Or he says, your parents may not talk to you ever again if you come to believe me and accept me and obey me. He wanted the people to know going in because he knew it'd be worse if they never believed on him. That if they believed on him for a while and then they left. He knew that would be worse for them. So he wanted them to know going in what might happen to them. Because he knew it was better for them to know and then make the right choice. I put it to you today, that's powerful. That's very powerful for you to know. It's powerful for me to know. Jesus didn't want his followers to believe that they would be treated better than he was. Going down a few verses in Matthew chapter 10, notice verse 24. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It's enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? He says, if they've called me Satan, if they've called me the devil, then Jesus says, don't be surprised if they call you Satan or call you the devil. That's what Jesus said. Don't be surprised. Don't think that your life is going to be a lot easier than mine. If you're going to follow me, he says, they're going to hate you just like they hated me. And think about the people that hated Jesus. How many attempts were made on his life that we have recorded in the New Testament? Tons of them. He got such a reaction from people that most people wanted to kill him. Well, that's quite a reaction. Most people wanted to kill him. Took him to the edge of the hill, tried to push him off. Right? That was the first time that I recall. But then after that, over and over again, he got such a reaction from people. He just jolted them. That they had to make a response. They couldn't just sit idly by. They had to do something. Notice John chapter 15, going back to the book of John, beginning in verse 18. This is toward the end of Jesus' life. This is just hours before he's going to be crucified. John chapter 15, just hours before he's going to be crucified. He's in the upper room with his apostles. You know, they're going to partake of that Last Supper. And what does he tell them? Verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant's not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Jesus made that plain, didn't he? He said, if you choose to become a follower of me, know that there are some in the world that will hate you. He said, know that. There will be people that hate you. So if you don't want to live in a world where there are some people that despise you or hate you, if you don't want that, then don't become a follower of me. He says, because that's going to happen. And some people would say, boy, Jesus was really negative. Well, that's a decision you have to make if you want to call him negative or not. Like Jack Nicholson. Can't handle the truth. Can't handle the truth. Jesus wanted his followers to know what the truth really meant and consequences. And those consequences. Jesus was saying that he had to come first, regardless of how difficult family matters became. Didn't make any difference how difficult. He said he always had to be first. So what all does that mean for me today? Well, it means that when we teach the truth of the gospel to other people, it will cause division. So we have a choice. Never teach the truth to anybody. Just let everybody go on their way, you know. And never say anything to them about salvation or about eternity. That's our choice. I never have to tell anybody about that if I don't want to. There's consequences to it, but I don't have to. And if I don't want to have any conflict, if I don't want to have any tension, if I don't want to have anybody not like me because of my beliefs, then I can choose to keep my mouth shut. The problem with that is, I will be lost eternally for that. I'll never be in heaven if that's what I choose to do. But I can choose it. I can choose that if I want. It's all up to me. My choice. I can have peace on earth now, or I can have peace in heaven. But I can't have them both. I can't have both. I can't live a life of roses and goodwill and fun and everything now and not ever have any problems. I can live that way now, but I won't get to live that way in eternity. So it's either a here and now or a then. Those are my choices. I just can't have both. That's what Jesus said. You choose where you want peace. You want it on earth, you want it in heaven, because you can't have both. He always caused people to make choices. You know, his life was about choices. People either accepted him or rejected him all the time, everywhere he went. When you look at his life, it was either a riot or a revival. You never saw people just unaffected by Christ. That's what the truth does. It causes people to make choices. But when you do that, just like Jesus, some people don't want to hear that. They can't handle the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. Some people don't even want to believe that there is a hell. They don't even want to hear that or believe it. And if you try and convince them of that, they may become very angry at you because you're telling them there's a hell. But yet I don't have any choice. I have to tell people about eternity and that there is a choice. There is a choice. But that's going to cause division, maybe in my own family, maybe amongst my friends, maybe amongst my neighbors or the people I work with. It may be here. You know, I can cause division by telling people the truth. By telling people maybe they have a gambling problem or something. And by telling them the truth from the Scriptures, they have a choice. They can either believe what God says about it, or they can get angry. And that can cause division. But whose fault is that? It's not the truth's fault. Not my fault. It's the person who decides to get angry about it. And some people get angry and they completely leave the Lord. And some might say, well, you should have never said something to it. That's not true. That's not true. Could be drinking. Or I mean, it could be anything. It could be immorality. It could be their faithfulness. Maybe they don't attend like they should, which is a huge problem in the Lord's church. It could be anything. Teaching the truth will inevitably lead to some conflict and division. But Jesus wanted us to know going in that would happen. And so the choice is, where do you want to have peace? You want to have it here in this world? No conflicts, no tension with anybody about anything. Jesus said, that is your choice. You can have that if you want. But Jesus says, realize that if you have it here on earth, you will not have it in eternity. If you want it in eternity, if you want no conflict and no tension, if you want peace and rest and eternity, he said, know that you're not going to have it in this life. And those are our choices. You just can't have it in both. That's why Jesus always calls riots or revivals. Because so many people couldn't handle the truth of that. They want peace now, and they want peace in eternity. And Jesus said, you just can't have it both. So our life is about making that choice where we want it. I'm like you. I'd like to have it both places. Jesus says it's absolutely impossible to have it in both places. So the question I want to ask you is if you're having, you never have conflict, you never have tension, and you and everybody you talk to in life, you know, loves you and thinks that that everything you believe and so forth is okay, then it's very, very unlikely that you'll have peace in eternity. That's what Jesus said. It's now or then. You want peace now? You want peace in eternity? I wish we could have both, but we can't. We can't. So the choice is up to us. We need to look inward and see about our relationship. Do I really have peace with God? Because ultimately that's the only peace that matters, is peace with God. Do you have peace with God? You know, people can believe they have peace with God and never have it. Do you have peace with God? The Bible says to be in peace, we have to be justified, declared not guilty, and that happens all because of Christ's blood. Originally, as it washes away our sins in baptism, and then throughout our life as we continue to confess and repent, His blood continues to cleanse us. And I can continue to have peace with God, and I can continue to have peace with all those people who are walking in the light. And surely that's what we all want. I'm positive that's what we all want. But it comes down to making decisions and choices about doing what's right. Peace now or peace in eternity. Which do you want? Think about those things as we stand and sing this song.